from Colossians 3, 12 through 17. And after I read the message today, it's going to be, I'm going to say, this is the word of God. And if you believe that with all your heart, I invite you to say, thanks be to God. Put on then, as God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, compassionate hearts, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience, bearing with one another, and if one has a complaint against another, forgiveness for each other. As the Lord has forgiven you, as you also must forgive. And above all these, put on love, which binds everything together in perfect harmony. And let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in one body. And be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, with thanksgiving in your hearts to God. And whatever you do, in word or deed, do everything in the name of Lord Jesus. Give thanks to God for the Father through him. This is the word of the Lord.
Would you go ahead and be seated? If you're a guest, thank you again for being here. If you weren't in here at the beginning, we've already done the announcement. You'll want to look on the app, and you'll be able to find all of those things. It is so good to look around and see this place full. I want to invite a few of you who are regular attenders. This is your good opportunity. You can move around if you'd like. We do have some seats up here. May give a little bit of room for some folks in the back if need be. If you got your Bibles, open up to the book of Colossians. We're still reading there. Hopefully you have that with you. If you got a piece of paper and a pen, I want you to pull that out. You can even use that Connect card that's in there in the seat back pocket right there. And that will give you a place where you can do it, taking a few notes. We're going to continue on in our series called Jesus Over Everything. I'm at the age where I remember growing up and there were all kinds of like fashion rules. Now, looking at me, you would not think I was a fashionista in any type of way. But I remember going to church and my mom would dress me in like I had a little blue suit. Blue started early in my life. I'm always in blue. She had a blue suit. I had a little blue clip-on tie, and that was the fashion that you wore to church. Some of you may remember, whether you are a female or a male, you don't wear white after. You do remember that. You know, you never want to really be caught dead in like a Canadian tuxedo, right? Denim on denim? No, never. No, you don't wear denim on denim. I love that. I like denim on denim. Maybe. Or how about like you don't pair like stripes and patterns together in an outfit. You don't do that. That was a no-no. You never did that. Or how about navy and black? You don't wear navy and black together. I don't see any problem with that. Amy sometimes will say, that doesn't go together, dear. That you need to back off on that. If you are, you never, ever, ever wear socks with sandals. Unless you're a senior adult man in South Florida walking on the beach. Listen, today there are no rules in fashion, right? I mean, I'm going to the grocery store yesterday. I like going to the grocery store. It's that hunter-gatherer in me, and I get to go to the grocery store. Really, I like to go to the grocery store because I can get what I want. Amy's a budget person. I'm like going, yeah, I need that. I need that. I need that. And as I'm walking down the aisle, it's like people watching. Have you ever looked, especially maybe if you go to like Walmart or anything, like, and you see what people are wearing, and you're like going, how do they do that? And the worst is like when they catch you like staring at them and you like turn away real quick. You know, the Bible has fashion rules in it. The Old Testament was full of them, especially when you got over into Leviticus. You remember in Leviticus, there were these types of ceremonial laws about you don't mix certain types of fabrics. If there were, you came in contact with, clothes that were ceremonially unclean, Those clothes had to be taken, and they were taken out to the back, out to the outside of the camp, and they were burnt. That was in the old covenant. We now live in the new covenant, and we walk under grace with Jesus. And so the fashion rules and those kind of things of the old covenant went away, but there are still some things that he calls us to be putting on. And in Colossians chapter 3, he begins to talk to us, Paul does, as he's writing to the church at Colossae. And if you remember a couple of weeks ago, we talked about how chapter 1 and 2 were deep theology, a lot of doctrine. In chapter 3, he makes a turn. He begins talking about the practical aspects. And I want to say this morning. Today, there is something in this passage for all of us. This is not a passage where I want you going, ooh, I hope they're listening. You're not turning around looking to see, are they here? This is not about listening for someone else. This is about what is it that Christ is saying to me? You see, in the Old Testament, Jesus talked about in the book of Isaiah, I believe it's Isaiah 64, that all of our righteousness is filthy rags, filthy rags. He says also in 61, though, he says that now we have been clothed in his righteousness. In chapter 3, there are six, we're going to go through verse 17 today, 12 through 17. But even into last week, six times, I believe it is, the word put is used. You hear me say often, when you see something repeated, you want to circle it. You want to figure out what's going on there. Well, in chapter 3, beginning in verse 5, he says, put to death something. He says, you got to kill sin, put it to death. The rest of the puts, and you're going to see those in just a few moments, twice as we read our passage. It's talking about putting something off and putting something on. And it's the connotation of new clothes. You put off the old clothes and you put on new clothes that God himself have given you. You know, when you join the military, today we enlist. If you are an enlisted person or you have someone enlisted, I'm thankful for your service. Thank you so much. But when you enlist, when you go to boot camp, they hand you a stack of clothes. This is what you wear. They tell you when to wear it. You wear these clothes for this thing. You wear these clothes for that thing. Well, when you came to Christ, if you are a follower of Jesus Christ, he gave you your clothing. Not physical clothing, symbolically, spiritual clothing he's given to you. And he is now telling us that we're to put these things on. This is what the passage is all about today. There are three statements that I'm going to give you today coming out of this passage as we walk through this. I'm not going to give them all to you at the beginning like I normally do. I'm going to give you one at a time. So if you got a piece of paper, you're thumbing in some notes, here's the very first thing that I want you to begin to notice. And we're talking about our identity today. We're talking about our identity, who we are in Jesus as followers of him. And the first statement is this, is how you dress represents who you are. How you dress represents who you are. I say this a lot, and if you've ever met with me in counseling or as we're talking, we have a huge identity problem in our nation. You know, we got men dressing like women and women dressing like men, people who don't know who they are. And as a result, there's confusion that happens. Well, I think that same thing exists in the church, spiritually that is. I think that we, as followers of Jesus Christ, we have an identity problem. We do not realize who we are in Jesus Christ, that we have been placed in him. You remember last week when we talked about that we are hidden in Christ, and that if we have died with him, that we will return with him, that we've been raised with him. Our union with Christ affects everything. And if we don't realize that, we start living out ways that are different than who we are and who we were created to be. So today, we're going to talk about what it means to be clothed in Christ, to have the righteousness of God in us, and how does that walk out? How does that live out? So I'm going to read some more. Let's read Colossians chapter 3, not 1 Colossians, Colossians chapter 3, beginning in verse 12 again. He says, put on then, these are these clothes, put on then as God's chosen ones, holy and beloved. I want you to circle God's chosen ones, holy and beloved. He's just given you your identity. He says, now then put on then compassionate hearts, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience, bearing with one another. And if one has a complaint against another, forgiving each other as the Lord has forgiven you, so you also must forgive. And above all these, put on love, which binds everything together in perfect harmony. And let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in one body, and be thankful. Now, Paul's about to tell us, here are these things, these clothes that I want you to put on. The old has passed away, the new has come, 2 Corinthians 5 tells us. He says that when you come to Christ, when you submit your life to him, the old clothing, some of you are taking your summer clothes, you're putting them away, and you're pulling out your winter clothes. Some of you are having to take your old summer clothes and donate them because they don't fit you anymore. That's all right. Those old clothes are gone. You have new ones that he gives you. He's given them to you, and now he's calling us to put them on. But before he does that, Paul's going to tell us a couple of things. He's going to tell us who we are, because what we wear represents who we are. So who are we? Notice that I ask you to circle that you are his chosen ones, that you are holy, and that you are beloved. You know, as I mentioned a few minutes ago, today in the military, we enlist. I need you to hear this. You did not enlist into God's military. He chose you. He put you into his body. You didn't choose him. He chose you. Go over to Ephesians with me. If you got a Bible, I want you to go there. Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1. I'm going to begin reading in verse 3. Ephesians chapter 1, he said, you are his chosen ones. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ, with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places, even as he chose us in him. Do you hear all the in him, in him, in him? In him, before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy, there's that word again, and blameless before him. In love, he predestined us for adoption through Jesus Christ, in Jesus Christ, according to the purpose of his will. Go over to chapter 2. Look over at chapter 2 with me real quick. Look at chapter 2. Chapter 2, beginning in verse 1. He says, and you were dead in your trespasses. What can dead men do? Nothing, not a thing. When Jesus called Lazarus from the grave, what was Lazarus? Dead. And he called him and he said, Lazarus. And what did Lazarus do? He got up and came out of the grave, the scripture tells us. He says, and you, me, you were dead in your trespasses and sin in which you once walked, following the course of the world, following the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that is now at work in the sons of disobedience, among whom we all once lived in the passions of our flesh, carrying out the desires of the body and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, like the rest of mankind. What he's wanting us to hear is this. He's wanting us to hear this, is that you didn't do anything to deserve where you are today. He enlisted you. He placed you. He says, your identity is a chosen child of his. Not because you're good, not because you're smart, not because you're athletic, not because you have anything to offer the king. He chose you. You have been chosen. That ought to free us up. Whoa. Lord, you did that before I ever did anything. But the scripture says in Ephesians, before the foundation of the world, before I ever thought a thought, before I ever got up, before I ever did a bad thing, before I ever did a great thing, he chose us. He says, your identity is a chosen one. Those of us in here who've never been picked to do much of anything, I've been chosen by the king. I've been chosen by the king. He has set us apart to be his ambassadors. Do you know what an ambassador does? only what the king, only what the president says do. That's all. That's it. He says, he has chosen you. Notice the next thing it says there. It says that you're also not only chosen, you're holy. Holy does not mean super spiritual. Holy means you are set apart. You're set apart. He chose you. He set you apart. Now, I need to make sure that you hear me. As a holy person, we are called to be holy as God, our King, is holy. We are to follow after him. Do you know why many of us don't walk in holiness? Because we've forgotten our identity, who we are. We're chasing after what the world says. We're chasing after what mama says. We're chasing after what daddy says. We're chasing after what the boss says. And we have forgotten that I am a chosen child of the King, set apart for his work. He says, you're chosen. He says, you're holy. He says, you didn't do anything for it. He says, I'm not even, listen, I've made you holy because I chose you. That's why he's telling us to put some things on. And he says, you're loved. He says, you're a loved one. Your identity is chosen, holy, and loved. Go back to Ephesians. Hopefully you still have your finger there. Ephesians chapter 2. I'm going to start reading in verse 4. He says this. Notice this. But God, remember, you were dead. But God, being rich in mercy, because of the great love, because of his great love, which he loved us. Do you see that? Because he's rich in mercy, because of his love, he loved us. Even when we were dead in our trespasses, he made us alive together with Christ. By grace, you have been saved. Catch this. And raised up with him and seated with him in the heavenly places in Christ. There's that in Christ Jesus, so that the coming of the ages, he might show the immeasurable riches. This is why you're set apart. The immeasurable riches of his grace and kindness towards us in Christ Jesus. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not your own doing. It's a gift of God. It's a gift of God so that no one can boast. He says, you were dead and you would have never chosen me had I not put faith in you as a gift. And because I have, I've chosen you. Now then I've set you apart. I've loved you. You're free. You're free now to live for me. This is our identity. This is who we are. And so many of us, I'm speaking to believers here right now. If you're not a believer right now in this room, this isn't to you. So many of us are today, we are not living according to the identity as chosen and holy, set apart and loved. And what we're doing is we're running around, we're eating out of the trash can because we're looking for something to fill us. We're looking for someone to love us when I need you to hear this. As a follower of Jesus, those of you who are followers of Jesus, you're chosen, you're holy, you're set apart, and you're loved. And now he says, hey, here are the clothes. Put these on. Take off all this old stuff, the anger, the malice, the wrath, the sinful immoralities. You remember all that from last week? Because you're hidden in me. Here's a whole new set of clothes. You didn't have to buy them. I've given them to you, and they fit perfectly. Listen, I probably get a little excited, but this ought to make us sing, dance, shout, go, yes, Lord, thank you. I didn't do anything to get it. I'm not going to lose it. And today, if you're feeling like you're feeling down and out, you're feeling washed up, and you would call yourself a follower of Jesus, I need you to hear this. You can't do anything to make him love you more. Some of you today, you're trying to jump through so many hoops. You know why? Because your daddy made you jump through a hoop. Your mama made you jump through a hoop. Your grandfather, if you did the right thing, if you threw the football just right, if you taught the right way, if I drew the right way, if I didn't burn the biscuits, whatever it is. I need you to know this. You may be sitting in here going, you know, I feel pretty good. I'm almost next to perfect. I need you to hear this. He doesn't love you anymore. He doesn't love you anymore because of how good you All the rules you follow, he doesn't love you anymore. All the rules you've broken, he doesn't love you any less. You know why? Because you didn't do any of that to get his love. Today, he hands that to you, and he says, child, child of mine, sweet child of mine. I've chosen you, I've set you apart, you're holy, and you're loved. And because of that now, you're free to live as I've created you. So what are the clothes now? What are the clothes? This isn't sermon two, that was still part of this, okay? What are those clothes? Well, let's look back over there at them because he spends the next few verses talking about that. In verses 12 and 13, he starts talking about things that look radically different than the rest of our world today. He talks about having a compassionate heart. Whoa. You know what compassionate heart is, don't you? What compassion is. Compassion is having a deep, deep concern for someone and actually doing something about it. It's not just a feeling. It's like you're expressing compassion to someone. He says, that's a piece of clothing that I've given you. He says, I've called you to be a compassionate person. This is who you are and I'm going to keep coming back to this, as a chosen, holy, set apart, and loved person. I've called you to be compassionate. I've freed you from having to be hard-hearted. That's not who you are. I've given you a compassionate heart. He says that, I've called you to be kind. You know, kindness is about how we treat people. Anybody think there is a dearth of kindness today? No, I mean, listen, we're like bankrupt on kindness, aren't we? We need kindness. We need kindness. Why do we need kindness? Because this is what he's given to us. And the scripture says it's his kindness that leads to repentance. Do you realize that you being a kind person, matters for the glory of God? This is a piece of clothing that he's given. I worked in the food service industry, hospitality. Anybody else in here ever done that? Are you presently doing that? Hospitality in some way? Yeah, I see all over. Anybody ever done like service industry something where you're working with people and you are serving them in business? That'd be most of you in here. Listen, I try really hard not to be unkind to those folks. And when I am unkind, I try to make it a tendency to go back and say, hey, will you forgive me? The Lord has called us to be kind. Daddies, mamas, listen, some of the parent wound that you're facing, and I want to even say this, hey, daddies, mamas, some of you may be creating a daddy and mama wound and you not realize it. Because you're not being compassionate and kind to the people he's given you to disciple in your own home. We're too worried about being harsh and jump through this hoop. He's called us to be compassionate, kind. He says he's given us, we should have a spirit of humility. You know what humility is, don't you? Humility is not necessarily thinking that I'm bad. It's just thinking that I'm thinking less of me than I do of you. I want to think more of Zion and his good than my good. It's putting him before. Lord, help us to think less of me and more of you and more of those. He says, be compassionate, be kind, be humble. He says, be gentle. Another word for gentleness is meekness. And there aren't people lining up in the meek line, are there? Today it is, I got to get over on you before you get me. It is a dog-eat-dog world and I want to be the pit bull. That is not who Jesus has called us to be. He says, you're to have strength. You're to be a strong man, a strong woman, but under the control of the Holy Spirit. You see, gentleness is strength under control. Why? Because you realize that I'm chosen by God. I'm set apart for his pleasure, and he loves me. And I don't have to get over on somebody else. He got me. He's got me covered. He has this. And lastly, he talks about patience here. He says, I'm calling you to be patient. Put on the clothing, the pants of patience. How about that? Put these pants on. Kind of hokey, isn't it? You'll never forget that. That was right on the spot. Some of you are going, yeah, I can tell. Thank you. He says, put on this patience. You know, patience is typically dealing with people. Endurance is in a situation. Now, you may need endurance because you're dealing with a person that is trying you and your patience is wearing thin. You realize that none of these things right here, they all fly in the face of the world, don't they? They all fly in the face of the world. And yet Jesus has set us free from all of it. You don't have to fight. You don't have to try to get your own. You don't have to try to get ahead. Listen, let's do the best that we can. Let's make sure that we, I like to strive for excellence. You know why? Because I serve the King of excellence and I want what we do to be for his glory. Okay? Let's try to do well. Let's go after it. But I need you to hear me. You don't have to walk over everybody to get there. There's no reason to have to be unkind. There's no reason to be uncompassionate. There's no reason for you to be arrogant. My prayer today has been that there would be people in here, usually it's men, could be some ladies, that you would be set free from being an arrogant person and that you would be humbled. Because this is what Christ has called us to. This is the type of person he looks for us to be. He says, this is your closet. Wear this. Put this on. Take off all the stained clothes. Take off all of the, listen, I took the unrighteous clothes off of you and I have now clothed you with my righteousness. Now be free from that. Look what he goes on to say in verse 13. In verse 13, he talks about bearing with each other and forgiving each other. We're about to hit quite a few one another's. You know what bearing with one another is? Bearing with one another, specifically in this context where it talks about forgiving each other, is that when you feel like you've been wronged, you bear alongside them and you forgive them. You walk alongside them. You bear up, you know? It's not necessarily suck it up, buttercup, but it is like, Lord, I've been wronged and I'm going to honor you in this. And I'm going to forgive them. Now, we have a tendency in our world today to think like this. What do you mean, forgive them? Do you not know what they have? You don't know, obviously, what they've done to me. You don't know the pain, the abuse, the neglect. You don't know they've cheated me out of this and my business. Let me ask you a question right now. Someone right now in this room, several someones, you're getting really tight when you think about somebody because you're holding on to something. That person needs to be forgiven. It could be mom, dad, uncle. It could be former business partner. It may be the spouse that is sitting directly next to you. But James tells us that there is a root of bitterness that begins to grow up in us and grow deep into us when we don't forgive, when we hold on, when we're not compassionate, humble, gentle, when we're not bearing up and forgiving. And after all, do you remember what he just said in this passage? He says, you can forgive. Why? Because God himself, your Father, has forgiven you. You realize that God didn't just forgive you of small things. He forgave you of everything. Everything. And the scripture says that he had already chosen you before you had done any of them. Jesus went to the cross and laid his life down and he paid for every one of your sins. His work appeased, the scripture says, the wrath of God. He paid that penalty. You know why? So that you could then be set free to put on the clothes that he's given to you. The clothes of gentleness and patience and humility and perseverance. And you're now free to forgive. Hey, think about this for a moment. Who wouldn't want a daddy, a mama, and a boss that was compassionate and kind and humble and gentle and patient and they overlooked and they forgave you? Anybody in here say, nope, I don't want that man, that woman, that daddy, that mama. Listen, do you realize that you're able to forgive people when you see them walking in that way? I'm sorry. I said this last week. You realize there's a difference between saying I'm sorry and asking for forgiveness, and they go together. You know, if I've harmed Zion, I probably need to go to Zion and say, Zion, I'm sorry because I did to you. Will you forgive me? You know what will you forgive me does? It causes him to engage with something. If I just walk up and go, hey, man, I'm sorry. Was it true? I ask you to forgive me. And did you realize that it takes someone who has experienced some humility, a humbling in their life to be able to say that? Mamas and daddies, some of you today need to turn to one another and say, I'm so sorry. Will you please forgive me? Some of you may need to go to your son, your daughter, your mom and dad and say, I am so sorry. Will you forgive me, please? Because you see, those are the clothes that match the identity that you've been given, chosen, holy, set apart, and loved. This is what he's called us to. And if you're like me, as I'm studying this week, I hope you're like me in this, I started feeling pretty rough, I'll be honest with you. Because the enemy began to tell me about all the ways that I'm not compassionate, I'm not humble, I'm not patient. He began to lay that on me. And some of you today, you may be sitting right there. And the Lord reminded me back to what we talked about last week. In Romans chapter 8, where it talks about the only way to put these things to death is by the power of the Holy Spirit. And I need you to hear me. You can't do any of these things without the power of the Holy Spirit. You can't pick yourself up. You can't pull on your boots. You can't go buy these clothes. They're given to you as a follower of Jesus Christ. And today, here's what I'm hopeful for. I'm hopeful that there are some of you in here, you're not followers of Jesus, and you're going, I want that. I want to be like that. I want to receive that. I want somebody to walk in my life like that. Maybe today, people you've been praying for and you've been walking in their lives, maybe, I don't know. God saves, but he does use his people. Maybe today, some of it is you need to go back to the people you've been trying to share Christ with and say, hey, will you forgive me because I've not been humble, I've not been gentle, I've not been patient with you. And they may look at you and go, whoa, what is this? And you have the opportunity to share, Christ has changed me. He's changed me. He's chosen me, he set me apart, and he loves me. And I want you to know that kind of love. Number two, here's the second statement. Here's the second statement. First statement was this, is how you dress represents who you are. The second statement is this, is who you are determines where you belong. Who you are determines where you belong. Look at verse 16. Verse 16 says, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another. There's another one of those one another's. In all wisdom, singing psalms, and hymns and spiritual songs with thankfulness in your hearts to God. As a chosen, holy, set apart, and loved person, he has placed you into a body of believers. He has put you together. He's put you into the body of Christ, and he's put you into a body of believers. These one another's are intended to be expressed within the context of the body. This is how we walk. This is what it is that he desires for us. In verse 15, he talks about, I know I just read 16, but I'm gonna go back to 15. In 15, he talks about letting the peace of God rule in your heart, letting the peace of Christ rule in your heart. In verse 16, he talks about letting the word of God dwell in us. Do you know how to have the peace of God ruling in your life? It happens when you make the word of God your home. When you dwell in it and it dwells in us and we begin to recognize, this is who I am. This is what he's called me to be. These are the things that he's given me to dress like. This is my identity. Your identity in him places you into a new family. And some of you today, you've been looking for a new family. And I want to invite you to him. But it comes at a cost. It came at the cost of his life. Jesus on the cross, paying for our sin. And it will come with a cost for you because he's going to give you a new set of clothes that he calls you to begin to wear. You realize you can't just put these clothes on and just self-identify. You have to submit your life. The Holy Spirit begins to give you the power to walk in these. This is how it is that we begin to live after him. This is how it is that it begins to work. He says also in there that we're to be teaching and admonishing one another. I want to make sure you hear me. You realize that I'm not the primary teacher here, don't you? The Holy Spirit is the primary teacher here. I'm the one that has been tasked. My role is to open the word and lay things out. And then we ask the Holy Spirit, would you do what you do? Would you teach us? Would you point us towards Jesus? You and I then become secondary teachers. And we begin to walk in each other's lives. We begin to teach one another. Teaching is the positive aspect of what we do. It's the, hey, let me help you understand this. Kelly, did you see this? This is what we're doing. This is how this works here. We open that up. That's why we have D groups. That's why we have like the LifePoint Institute. Even right now, while we're in here, there are small groups happening down the hallway in kids and preschool, and they're being taught the word of God. It's not childcare. I need you to hear me. You go, well, what about my little preschooler? You know, somebody's holding that preschooler. They're rocking them. They're singing to them. They're praying for them. They're talking about the things of God to them. In the children's ministry, we're not just like tossing candy out all like. I mean, we're not just playing games. It is about how do you know who Jesus is and walk in him? It's about discipleship. This is why we want you in this, so that you can be taught the word of God, but so then you also can teach the word of God to one another. Admonishing is the correcting. This is what none of us want. Who likes to be corrected by the word of God? But the scripture says this is what we do with one another. Do you know why most of us don't like to be admonished or corrected? Is because we've had some joker, some woman, some angry person who wasn't compassionate and humble and patient. They weren't enduring. They weren't living after the way that their identity is chosen and holy, set apart and loved. And so all of us in here being from broken, you realize we all come with brokenness because we're broken people, broken homes, sinful. And we all come together. We're all dragging a suitcase of some sort. Maybe some of us are driving two or three. And who wants somebody to say, hey, this is what the word of God says, and I want to walk in you with you. But listen, when we do that out of the identity that we've been given as chosen and holy, in love, with humility, patience, enduring, with a heart of compassion, oh my goodness, come talk to me. Help me understand what it is that I, look at Colossians chapter 1. Colossians 1, turn back a page, verse 28. Colossians 1, 28 says this. Paul's writing, he's already written this to them, and he says, it's him. Who is him? Jesus. It's him we proclaim, warning everyone, teaching everyone with all wisdom. Why? That we may present everyone mature in Christ. You see, broken record time here. Your identity is chosen. Your identity is holy, set apart. Your identity is love. He's given you these clothes so that you then will put them on. And so that as a person who is humble and meek and gentle and patient and compassionate and long-suffering, that as you walk with each other and you present the word, you're admonishing one another. You know what we're doing? We're going to be a lot more Christ. We're growing to maturity in Christ, Romans 8, 29, so that he's working all of these things so that we might bear the image of Jesus Christ. This is why we do this. This is why you hear me each week say, hey, get in a group. Hey, read the word. Hey, Zion's verse over the last 3 or 4 weeks has been that we do this through psalms, like we're singing scripture, through hymns, songs that like are, they're timeless. I surrender all. They're timeless, traditional songs that remind us. Usually those songs are like this way. We're singing them to each other. Spiritual songs like the songs that we write that are Godward focused, that say, God, this is about you, and we love you, and we magnify you. He says, when we do that, you know what happens? Our heart wells up with thankfulness. I've not had a Red Bull or anything like that. This is who Christ has called us to be, church. This is what he wants from us. This is what he wants from us. And then he closes with the last statement, and I have just a brief few moments. A brief few moments. The last statement is this. He says this, where you belong determines what you do and how you do it. Where you belong. We've seen who we are. We see the family that he's put us in. And now he tells us what we should do and how we should do it. Look at verse 17. Verse 17 says this, and whatever you do, and whatever you do, in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, giving thanks to God the Father through him. This sounds a lot like 1 Corinthians 10:31. This is where we get, for those parents who don't know, why do we call our youth camp, student camp, camp whatever? 1 Corinthians 10:31. So whether you eat or you drink, whatever you do, do all to the glory of God. I need you to hear me. There is no sacred, there is no secular. Everything is holy as a follower of Christ. It doesn't matter if you eat, doesn't matter if you drink, doesn't matter if you talk, doesn't matter if you work, doesn't matter how you're doing your finances, doesn't matter how you're doing your work outside, how you're exercising, whatever it is, who do you do it to? To the glory of God. You see, some of us in here, we are so hung up on the man who is on us. I need you to hear me. It's not the man, it's the God that you're working for. And some of you, because your identity is wrapped up in all kinds of things that aren't chosen and holy and dearly loved followers of God, you're doing all kinds of things for your glory and her glory and your kids' glory and this thing and that thing. Your identity is out of whack. Your walk with Christ is out of whack. You've been wandering. If it's like being on the bicycle and all of a sudden things start wobbling and you know you're about to go down. You ever felt that way? You know what that is? Listen, when your identity is out of whack, when you don't know who you are and how you've been created and why you've been given what you've given, and he's given you these things to wear for his glory, not for yours, not for your financial freedom, not for your financial security, not for your Roth, not for your house, not for your vacation, not for your kids, for his alone. This is who you are in Christ. This is what he has called you to. This is why he says, listen, let the peace of Christ rule and let the words of God dwell so that you recognize these things and you begin to live differently. The evangelist, early evangelist D.L. Moody said, out of every 100 people, one man will read the Bible. The other 99 will read the Christian who read the Bible. Now, I need you to hear me. I need all 100 of you reading the Word of God. There's probably about 180, 190 in here. I need all of you reading the Word of God. You know why? Because there are another 100 people out there who are never going to open their word, and what they're going to see is a man or a woman who knows where their identity is. They know how they've been chosen. They've been set apart. They're called to holiness. They're dearly loved. They're not chasing after every vehicle that comes along, every new thing that happens. They are clothing themselves in the righteousness of God. When I say they're clothing themselves, God himself has given that to us by the power of the Holy Spirit, by Jesus. We put those things on, our character begins to look like Jesus as we walk in this by the power of the Spirit. And you know what ends up happening? People begin to go, hey, I'm reading your life and something is different about you. The chains that have bound you, pride, ambition, alcohol, drugs, your family, he frees you from those things because you are a different person. This is what he's called us to. This is what he's called us to, church. If you're a follower of Jesus, this is you. If you're not a follower of Christ today, the Spirit calls you. I've asked the Lord, we, those of us who gather in the mornings at 8:15, we've asked the Lord, would you open blind eyes? Would you call dead men and women to life? Would you speak their name? And today we call you and we invite you to Jesus. And I need you to hear me. Today's message is not about jumping through another hoop. It's not try to get to the next step. You know why? Because Jesus has already conquered all that. You can't do this perfectly. Nor should you, because Jesus has accomplished it. He's the reason that we can sit here. He's the reason that we have freedom. He is the reason that we're able to stand here today and go, thank you, Lord. Thank you for your Son. And thank you that we have freedom in Him. Now and then, as Paul would say to the Colossians, as he would say to us today, put these things on now. Let's put them on today. Father, we love you. We honor you. I'm so thankful for this body. I'm thankful for what you're doing here. I'm thankful for what you're doing in my life in the Word. And Father, I'm asking that you would make us humble people, that you would make us compassionate people. Father, that you would make us people who are patient, that we are long-suffering, that we would forgive as you've forgiven us. Father, whatever that root is, that root of bitterness, that unforgiveness that we're holding against someone, Father, would you dig it out of us? Holy Spirit, come and have your way today. I'm asking that you would save people today. Around this room right now, would you stand with me? Today, part of our response is we're going to sing. We're going to sing. You know, when an invading army conquers another army, do you remember what surrender looks like? I invite you, if you're comfortable to surrender, I invite you to come and kneel. I invite you to Christ. I'd love to talk with you. If you don't want to come down here, I'll be out in the foyer. Zion, come and lead us.